completely different story, not related to fish or engines. In the news this week, one of the biggest cancer stories this week has been about abiraterone, and it's a new drug that's being currently tested for prostate cancer. Now, earlier this week, there was loads of media interest, and in my role as a spokesperson for Cancer Research UK, I got to go on telly, and it was all very exciting, because researchers had released the results of an early-stage clinical trial of this drug in men with aggressive prostate cancer whose cancers come back after standard hormone treatment. So obviously, they've been treated with hormone therapy. Their cancer starts to come back, and this is when really things get very difficult and it's very hard to treat them then. Now, the trial showed that the drug worked in up to 80% of the patients that they tested, which is really, really great. So that's why it got loads and loads of interest. And some stories were saying, oh, this drug could save 10,000 lives a year. And that's the number of men who actually die from prostate cancer in the UK every year. Now, it is very exciting, but this trial only involved 21 men. It's a very early stage trial. And, you know, it's certainly not really enough to warrant this huge excitement, and also certainly not enough numbers in a trial to warrant it being used all over the place. And people are phoning up organisations like Cancer Research UK and saying, how can I get this drug? And it's very important to remember that it's still essentially an experimental treatment. Now, it is being tested, this drug abiraterone, is now being tested in a much larger group of patients across the world, more than 1,000 prostate cancer patients. And when we get the results of that trial, then we'll know much more about whether this drug's safe. So at the moment, it's a bit too early to get overexcited because we don't really know how well it works and how safe it is.
How does it work?
Well, it's really interesting the way it works. So most hormone treatments for prostate cancer work on cutting off the supply of testosterone. That's the male sex hormone that fuels the growth of prostate cancer cells. And they cut off the production of testosterone by the testes, the testicles, in several ways. But the thing about abiraterone is that it actually stops the production of testosterone in all the tissues of the body. So that's in other hormone-based tissues, for example, the adrenal glands, and in the prostate cancer itself, it completely shuts down production of testosterone. So if you have cancers that have, you know, they're managing to struggle by on a little bit of testosterone and start growing again, this really shuts off all the fuel to the cancer. So it is potentially very exciting drug. You know, Cancer Research UK is very excited about it because we were involved in the early development of it. So it's got a lot of potential, but it's certainly too early to get excited, and it's certainly too early for it to be prescribed generally.
More than 20,000 men a year in the UK alone die from prostate cancer, so it's very serious.
Yes, about 10,000 die and 33,000 get it. So it's, you know, we really need to do something about it, but it's certainly too early to say yet.
Thank you, Kat. Well, to the other end of the body, and that's breasts and breastfeeding. And there's a very interesting paper which has been published in the Journal of Physiology and Behaviour this week by researchers at the University of Copenhagen. This is Helen Hausner and her colleagues. And they were interested in the question, do babies get influenced in their tastes by what they get from their mother's breast milk? In other words, does what mum eats affect the baby's choice of foods later? Because there are various anecdotal reports and small studies that have shown that mothers who eat certain things when they're pregnant and breastfeeding subsequently have babies that develop a taste or a preponderance to wanting to eat that substance. They did it with carrots, for example, and showed that babies develop a taste for carrots if mum eats a lot of carrots. But it was never clear whether it's because the flavour of the carrots is going into the breast milk or whether it's just that mum in general smells on her breath of something from the carrots, perhaps her own natural body secretions smell of carrots in some way, and this makes the baby develop a taste for carrots, not the breast milk. So to test this out, they got 18 women who were breastfeeding. They took baseline milk samples from them, and then they selected four chemicals, which they fed to them in capsules just before a lunch. And the women took either a menthol capsule, some carvone, and that's caraway. It's the thing that makes caraway seeds smell the way they do. Also, 3-methylbutylacetate, which is the banana smell in bananas, and also something called transanethol, which is the licoricey smell or licoricey taste that you get in fennel, star anise, and licorice itself. So they fed capsules of this one at a time to this group of women, and then at 2, 4, 6, and 8 hours after they took the capsules, they took breast milk samples, and they measured something called the head space. This is the airspace above the sample for any of these volatile chemicals. They used an e-nose, an electronic measure of what chemicals might be there. And the menthol went up over 4 to 6 hours. It peaked 4 to 6 hours after the women ate to the menthol. The other ones, the caraway and the licorice, came up after just 2 hours, and you could detect this in the breast milk to a significant amount. But they never got any of the banana flavours, which they think probably just doesn't get filtered into the breast milk. But what this shows is a number of important things. One of them is that a lot of the chemicals that mothers do eat do get into the breast milk, and probably at a level that may well influence the tastes of the babies. And the other interesting thing is that preliminary data from the same group shows that when you compare women who bottle feed their babies with women who breastfeed their babies, the breastfed babies tend to be more willing or more receptive to the introduction of new tastes and flavours later than the bottle fed ones, which seem to be programmed to prefer blandness. So this explains a lot about how you can influence the choices and tastes of your future baby by what you yourself eat. So that's quite interesting, isn't it?
I love babies. I could never eat a whole one, though.
Cat food.